Chapter 54. Motherly Concern. Refugee camp. A little past midnight. 2 days before the battle. So, drones are born out of eggs laid by the mother, but queens are born like a pony baby? Vladimir asked for clarification from the changeling he spoke to.
Correct.
Thorax nodded.
Though, both enter pods shortly after.
It's true,
Cardus confirmed, standing with them both by the group of crates they were sorting through. Changelings and ponies continued to work hard at delivering aid. Even a full day after the battle, things weren't exactly fine around camp. The relief effort would be going on for a while.
Most drones are born in a nursery, though some parents prefer for their young to hatch in more private circumstances. But the nursery is more traditional,
Thorax continued.
I myself was born in the nursery when Queen Chrysalis herself was present.
Why did you never mention any of this, Cardus? Vladimir asked.
I have yet to give Juvenis the birds and the bees talk. Why the hey would I give a fully grown Thestral the talk?
Cardus deadpanned.
Ah. Point taken, Vladimir said sheepishly. Anyway, Thorax, was it? What did you do around the hive?
Oh, I was part of the guard at one point. I was even present during the wedding,
Thorax stated.
Was part of the guard? Why did you leave it?
The wedding,
he said simply.
It was my first full engagement, and I didn't enjoy it much. I prefer friendship over fighting. Hey, if Chrysalis had been evil, I may have straight up run away to the Crystal Empire or something afterwards.
Thorax's face fell.
Though she wasn't evil. She was kind. A good ruler. Even if she was a bit overdramatic at times, she didn't deserve what she got.
Agreed, Vladimir said apologetically.
Anyway, I have things to do. Please excuse me,
Thorax said as he made his leave.
Yeah, nice talking to you.
The Thestral nodded as the changeling departed. Once Thorax had left, Vladimir turned to Cardus.
Hey, did you notice the kid's magic color?
More blue than green,
Cardus confirmed.
I know. Like Queen Twilight has an aura that deviates from the usual green most changelings hold.
So I see, Vladimir said. Though Thorax seems like a good kid.
He is, and he made the right choice by leaving the guard. He wasn't suited for it,
Cardus noted.
Though saying that, you should see him when he gets hungry.
Why? What happens?
Cardus smirked.
Let's just say he gets all snarly and might bite.
Vladimir tilted his head.
Snarly?
Yep,
was the simple response Cardus gave back, shooting him an amused grin.
Alrighty then,
Vladimir concluded, deciding to just leave it at that.
Here comes trouble.
Vladimir smiled as a small nymph came running up to the duo, followed closely by a second.
Hiya, Mr. Bat! Hiya, Mr. Cardus!
Palula waved enthusiastically as she skidded to a stop.
Daddy!
Juvenis shouted excitedly.
Hey there, girls,
Cardus said, patting his daughter on the head affectionately.
You two playing nice?
Both happily nodded.
Good. Now where's that sister of yours, Palula?
Cardus asked.
Here. Whew.
A tired Soronos gasped for breath as she ran to catch up with the mischievous duo.
They've been giving me the runaround.
At least they're keeping you busy,
Vladimir smirked.
Yeah, well,
Soronos composed herself.
Palula hasn't been this happy in a long time, so I can't complain. At least now she has a friend her own age.
We are doomed, Vladimir stated dramatically.
You're funny, Mr. Bat,
Juvenis exclaimed as the two nymphs giggled. Vladimir rolled his eyes.
Mr. Bat, huh? Is that my name now?
Yep!
Both grinned innocently.
Well, I mean, your mark is a bat, so...
Soronos smirked. For the second time in but a few moments, Vladimir rolled his eyes. Suddenly, Paola perked up and turned to her new friend.
Hey, let's go find and help Queen Drago. Isn't her name Drago?
Juvenis asked. Paola shrugged.
But we can be royal assistants. You two shouldn't be bothering...
Saronis began, but then the two nymphs were already gone. Saronis groaned and set off again to try and keep up before the two burned down the camp with their... assistants. Vladimir chuckled lightly.
Well, at least they're enjoying themselves. They're about the only ones.
Cardus reminded his friend solemnly, pointing towards nearby Shining Armor and Princess Cadence. Shining Armor was pacing around restlessly as Cadence tried to calm him. They seemed to be in a heated discussion.
He's worried for his sister is all, Vladimir said. She didn't take Chrysalis's passing well.
You don't need to tell me. I'm connected to her, remember?
Cardus tapped the side of his head in demonstration.
Right. Are you able to tell how she's doing?
No,
Cardus said regretfully.
She's blocked herself off. Apparently, there are even sound suppression wards around the tent that she herself placed. So I can take a good guess as to the Queen's condition.
Vladimir sighed.
It's bullshit.
What is?
The lunar captain gestured to the camp with a hoof.
All of this.
A short while ago, I was on leave in the Crystal Empire and every pony was alive and happy and...
Now all of this is happening. None of us saw it coming.
And perhaps that was our downfall,
Cardus grimly stated.
Still, there's no way she'll attack us here. This camp is far too heavily defended. Things should calm in a couple days when all the supplies are distributed and nerves aren't so frayed.
We can hope, was the response.
Still, I'm going to keep my blade at hoof's reach. We can't be too careful.
Very true, Cardus agreed. I already lost one queen on my watch. I will not lose another.
It's not your fault. You were protecting Twilight at the time, and fighting a dragon, Vladimir stated.
I know that, Cardus said sternly. But that doesn't change the fact that she is dead, and there was nothing I could have done. Next time I will do something. Even throw myself in front of a magic bolt intended for her if I must.
No, you're just being dramatic, Vladimir protested.
But I mean it, Cardus said genuinely. It's my duty.
Well, don't be so quick to sacrifice yourself, because after all this is done, we're going for drinks.
Cardus sighed.
I suppose I can get behind that.
Get behind what?
Broadsword asked as he and Scarlet made their presence known.
Drinking ourselves under the table, Vladimir smirked. Putting our hooves up and relaxing without any of this nonsense.
Let's do our jobs first, Broadsword stated. We miss much?
Just talk with a changeling named Thorax,
Cardus said.
Where were you two?
Well, we were actually quite fortunate. The doctor who Scarlet had an appointment with on our return to Canterlot was one of the ones shipped out here to assist, so he did the pregnancy checkup here and now when he had a free moment,
Broadsword explained.
Oh, really? And?
The baby is doing fine.
Scarlet smiled.
Well, that's good to hear. Vladimir congratulated. I wish you both the best. Being a parent's a big responsibility. Perhaps you should go to Shining for tips?
I think Cadence would be a better choice,
Broadsword joked.
Shining can be a bit of a drama queen sometimes.
Vladimir chuckled.
No kidding. You turning in for the night?
I am,
Scarlet said.
The doctor insisted I get some rest. Broadsword is staying up, though.
There's still plenty to do, Broadsword said, looking around the camp. And let it never be said I skimped by in my duties.
Oh, my hero,
Scarlet lightly mocked, before planting a kiss on the stallion's cheek.
And don't you forget your duties to me later on, Captain.
She giggled as she departed, leaving her husband extremely red in the face. Broadsword slowly turned towards Cardus and Vladimir, who both seemed very amused indeed.
Just get back to work, Broadsword mumbled in embarrassment.
Celestia walked with her sister on the outskirts of the camp, the hustle and bustle of activity within still viewable from the distance. The night was ultimately calm aside from that, and the only notable noise was the occasional owl coming out to hunt.
I find it hard to see Twilight saying that to you, Luna said. She isn't usually one to make cruel remarks. Is it cruel if she's right? Celestia asked. I have thought heavily on the very thing she's described many times. We aren't perfect, and I don't believe Twilight truly hates you for that. She understands and cares for you as a mother, but with what she's going through... I was the outlet for her anger, I know, Celestia sighed. I just feel helpless. I want to help her in any way I can. By just letting her vent, you may have. By tomorrow, she will likely be overdramatically asking you for forgiveness, as usual. Old habits die hard. Perhaps, Celestia said. I'm just worried for her. She's the queen now, and that is a lot of responsibility. Not to mention Crudelis. Their confrontation seems inevitable, Luna noted. Though Crudelis shouldn't be too confident in their battle. Others have made similar mistakes in the past, myself included. I was so sure I would defeat the puny unicorn that was ready to charge at me when I returned. The next thing I knew, I was depowered and at your mercy. Twilight will do fine. No, Celestia suddenly stated. What? Luna asked in confusion. I will not let Crudelis close to Twilight. Not again. First the assassin almost claimed her life, then the attack. When Crudelis makes her next move, I will confront her personally. We are not always in charge of our own fates, Luna cautioned. You may fight Crudelis, but I feel destiny calls the two queens to meet face to face. One last time. To Tartarus with fate! Celestia shouted. Fate will not keep me from protecting her. Destinies are never set in stone. It is true there are many branches time can take, Luna conceded. But nevertheless, the outcome will not always be ours to control. We are not gods. I know, Celestia assured. There is no such thing, only godlike beings. But despite this, I must try. I must try for her sake and for my own. I will not lose her, sister. I won't. It is admirable that you care so much, but I would expect nothing less, Luna said. Still, whether Crudelis fights you or Twilight, I expect the end is coming soon. Crudelis has waited a long time to enact her plans, and she won't stop now. Do you expect an attack on the camp? Celestia asked. Creatures like her can be blinded by anger, though I don't believe she is that much of a fool. She will try something else. Like what? I don't know, Luna admitted. 1,000 years ago, I attacked directly, when I should have just played innocent and poisoned your next meal. Thanks, Celestia muttered sarcastically. I'm glad I didn't, though. Luna nuzzled her sister in reassurance. But my attack as Nightmare Moon was on a whim. My final fall from grace. Crudelis has been planning this for a while and will not be so quick to take action. She will come for Twilight, no doubt, and I am concerned for how she plans to gain access to her. Then all we can do is wait and keep an eye out. We must be ready, Celestia stated. I want the EUP around camp to be on constant alert and ready for deployment. And I'll send for some extra hoofs from Fort Hurricane. Agreed, Luna nodded. We should also have some agents try to root out any potential infiltrators. It's already done,
Celestia said.
I ordered some discreet sweeps the moment I heard about the attack. Just in case. Good to see you're on top of things. Now, sister, if you would excuse me, I have business to attend to. Business?
Celestia asked in non-understanding.
The realm of dreams does not wait for any pony, and I have a long night ahead, catching up. Ah, I see. Good night, Lulu. Good night, Tia. And don't worry about young Twilight. I have an idea.
Celestia raised an eyebrow.
Yes, Luna nodded. I will explain soon. For now, I must get a move on. All right. Do be careful with her.
Celestia asked of Luna, opening her wings and flying off towards the refugee camp in the distance.
Contrary to popular belief, I do know discretion,
Luna called after her. She then shook her head.
I am the Princess of the Night, after all,
she muttered. Luna herself opened her wings and returned to camp, and after a short trip, she found herself in the tent set up for her use, passing by some of her own guard on the way in. Luna disposed of her regalia before retiring into her own bed. Luna closed her eyes and lit up her horn. When her eyes opened again, her consciousness was drifting in a star-filled realm, filled with many doors into many dreams of the many ponies and other such species within range of her ability. But tonight, instead of scouting out the realm, there was only one destination she had in mind. A friend who needed her help once more. All the doors were swept away, leaving only one. A seemingly plain door with the image of a lavender starburst painted meticulously on the front. Grinning to herself, Luna opened the door, more than ready for the inevitable nightmare swirling within the mind of Twilight Sparkle. Thank you for tuning in for this chapter of Change by Tom117Z. If you enjoyed any of what you heard, please consider leaving a like. If you're not already, consider subscribing. And if you're really feeling incredibly generous and really want to support me in what I do, then there's a link to my Patreon down in the description below. Thank you very much for any and all support, be it like, sub, favorite, whatever. It's all helpful. I appreciate it all. Thank you for tuning in. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.